We're doing the Doshot Aran, we're up to the third speech. And Ran had been discussing that being that Aaron was the leader before Moshe, so when it came to the first commandment, the commandment of Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, Hashem, so to speak, got Aaron involved. So when the mantle was given over, Moshe was going to be the leader. When it came to being to the first commandment, Aaron was also in the picture. Aaron was very forthcoming. Aaron was happy that Moshe got the leadership position, and that shows greatness in his heart. And Hashem also gave this first prophecy to both of them. Omnam bat yesh kan sheila ech haya shelo yishlim Hashem yitbarach leMoshe Rabbeinu alav shalom shlemut gmura ad shelo yitzterech leshlichuto shituf klal. How come when Moshe was being sent as a messenger, Hashem didn't make him whole, and Moshe couldn't do it on his own? When Moshe is being sent to Pharaoh, he needs a partner. So speak, Moshe couldn't hack it alone. Why? Why didn't Hashem make it that Moshe could do it alone? Ki en safek shinyan Moshe umadrigato haya lemala min hateva. Undoubtedly, when we speak about Moshe and his level, it was beyond nature. It wasn't just a matter of, well, Moshe had a stutter so it didn't work. No, this was all pre-planned. Right? This wasn't something that was left to the way nature would take its course. So if Moshe had a stutter, obviously God wanted him to have a stutter, or whatever impediment he had that prevented him from expressing himself well, it was part of the godly plan. And undoubtedly, Hashem blessed Moshe in that Moshe was complete beyond what we can fathom. Moshe's capacity to attain prophecy, so he was given things that other people were not. He was created different. Like the pasuk says, no prophet ever stood like Moshe. Moshe was given greater potential in other areas of life. Moshe was given unusual potential. So how come when it comes to doing his main service, he's supposed to come take the Jews out of Egypt, suddenly he can't do it alone? And in this pasuk, the pasuk was teaching us that Moshe's prophecy and his level was above what a human being could naturally attain. It's impossible for a human being in the way of nature to attain such a level. If it were really something within the laws of nature, how could it say no prophet would arise like Moshe? Hashem doesn't withhold good from those who have the potential to have it. Hashem won't prevent a person. If any person could really attain the level of prophecy like Moshe, so then why is the pasuk so confident no one arises like Moshe? Well, who says? Hashem allows every person to reach his potential. What the pasuk is really indicating to us is that Moshe was given a potential that was different than everyone else's potential.
Aval inyan ha-pasuk hu lodim. The ability to reach the same potential.
Every person has his potential. The question is, within nature, is there going to be another person that has Moshe's potential? Says the Ran, no. No one else is going to be able to reach such heights. And he says this pasuk is proof. Aval inyan ha-pasuk hu lodim kinyan Moshe haya mikat ha-nisim ha-niflot. So what the pasuk is really telling us is that the whole concept of Moshe and what Moshe did in the world, that's one of the miracles. It's one of the wonders of the world. And it's outside of the laws of nature. Even though the fact that prophecy lands on a person is something that's within nature, it's a possibility. Meaning a person like the Rambam says could spend his whole life preparing himself for prophecy and never get it. We prepare, we do what we have to do, but whether in the end he will get prophecy or not, that's a question. So within nature, it's a possibility, but it is within nature. Omnam kasher tachul bo yishaku kochot gufo ad sheibatlu pulotav. But when a person does get prophecy, then he has to lose his control over his physical body, kochot gufo, and he stops functioning. Everyone other than Moshe, when they got prophecy, bam, they're out. They're in a coma. They're in a They're in a different place. I mean, אבל שתוכל רוח נבואה לאדם והוא ער, but this concept that a person can be awake and have prophecy, עומד על הרגליו, standing on his feet, שלם בכוחותיו, whole in his strength, כאשר ידבר איש אל רעהו, the way a person can speak to his friend, and it, no problem. For a person to be able to talk to God that way, זם נמנע בחוקי הטבע. This is really against the laws of nature. Just like nature despises a vacuum, nature despises a man standing on his 2 feet and talking to God. It's against the laws of nature. Can't have it. כי מי שישיג זאת המדרגה, ישיג היותו איש ושכל נבדל בבת אחת. Because really, what is prophecy? Prophecy is that the neshama is connecting to the one above. In order for the neshama to do that, it has to leave the role of human being for a few moments. A human being is physical, he does physical things. Neshama is spiritual. They function together in being a human being. But for the neshama to connect to Hashem, the neshama is then detaching itself from the physical. So that's why any other prophet, when they got prophecy, their physical stopped functioning. The neshama connects to Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu is suddenly doing both at the same time. Then Moshe was combining something which was unnatural, having prophecy at the same time, that he is a walking, talking, physical human being. וזהו שעודיינו הכתוב, כי זה דבר ניסי, חידשו השם יתברך וסגיבו בכוחו. And that's what the Pasuk was telling us, that this thing that Hashem did was a miracle, something unique that Hashem did. כי יתר הנפלאות שחידש לקיום התורה. Like other miracles Hashem made in the world, in order to validate, to give us the Torah. כי הוא ההכרחי שבכולן, because this is maybe the most important miracle, כדי שלא יוכל שום נביא מחזב להתפאר שהוא ינבא דבר הפך דברי משה. Hashem had to make Moshe, had to make, so to speak. Hashem made Moshe greater than any other prophet. This was to ensure that no prophet could come and say, well, God told me different than Moshe. I'm bigger than him. I'm coming to tell you the opposite of Moshe. כי Hashem יתברך הודיענו שמה שהשיג משה הוא למעלה מן האפשרות. Hashem told us that what Moshe attained was beyond human capacity. בדרך הפלא, it was miraculous. ושזה הפלא לא יעשה לאדם אחר בעולם כמו שנעשה למשה. And the Torah is telling us that God ain't about to do this again. Hashem says, I gave Moshe prophecy and I'm not giving anyone else prophecy like that. אם כן, נדע בזה שכל מי שיחלוק עליו הוא מחזב. So now, if anyone argues on Moshe, we say he's a liar. כי משה הגיע למדרגה שלא הגיע אדם אליה לעולם. Moshe reached a level that no one's ever going to reach that level. והיא שהוא שב כשכל נבדל בפועל. Moshe Rabbeinu became like an angel, like what the philosophers call a separate concept. ולא היה עניינו מקבל השינוי וההיפעלות עד שישכיל בעת אחת יותר ממה שישכיל בעת אחרת. And Moshe was a constant. Human beings aren't ordinarily constants. Moshe Rabbeinu was like a constant, like an angel. So that Moshe wasn't like the average human being who has his ups, he has his downs, he has his days when he does have prophecy, he has his days when he doesn't have prophecy. Some days he has more kavanah and davening, some days he has less. That's the way every human being is. Not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe had a constant high. Moshe had constant prophecy. That's beyond our concepts. We don't understand how a human being could always be on the up. אבל היו כל העיתים שווים לו בהשגה. Moshe Rabbeinu maintained constant perception of Hashem. To us, that's, we don't understand it. Well, what does that mean? Every morning he felt like serving Hashem? No, but every morning he did. He was a constant. It had nothing to do with what he wanted. וזהו עניין רמזו רבותינו זל בראש יומא, and this concept our sages alluded to in the beginning of tractate יומא, שאמרו שם, the Talmud says there, שבעת ימים קודם יום הכיפורים, שבעת ימים קודם שריפת הפרה, מפרישים כהן גדול. 7 days prior to the Yom Kippur services, and 7 days prior to the burning of the red heifer, we separate the Kohen Gadol from his family, and he goes to a separate room in the temple. ולמדו זה מסיני, and the Talmud derives this from what happened at Sinai, תכתיב, as the verse says, וישכון כבוד השם על הר סיני, ויחסהו ענן ששת ימים. The pasuk says, the God's honor descended on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered Sinai for 6 days. מי ששת ימים? So the Talmud says, why does the pasuk tell us that the cloud descended there for 6 days? זה בנייניו לכל הנכנס למחנה שכינה. This is teaching us a general rule. Anyone who wants to enter the camp of the Shekhinah, ta'un prisha sheshet yamim, must separate himself for 6 days. So that's what the Talmud says in Yuma. V'yesh kan she'ila, so we have a question here. Ech lamdu m'moshe rabbeinu l'kein gadol b'yom ha-kippurim? How did the Talmud derive from Moshe, who's ascending Sinai, who's going to talk to God and receive the whole Torah, to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, v'lekohen ha-sref tapara, and from there also to the Kohen who's burning the red heifer? V'alo en lemedin kal v'chomer l'achmir alav im ha-ma'amad ha-nichbad hazeh asher lo haya kamohu haya ta'un prisha. How could you learn such a derivation? Here you have a stand that's one time in history. Moshe's going up to God, and God says, okay, you have to prepare yourself for 6 days. Ech nilmod mizeh l'kohen gadol b'yom ha-kippurim l'kohen ha-sref tapara? How do you derive from that to a case of a Kohen that's he's going for Yom Kippur? Okay, Yom Kippur is a big thing, but it's not like Moshe going up to Sinai. The Kohen's preparing the red heifer. For a century, they're going to use the ashes from that red heifer to purify all of the Jewish people. It's important, but it's not like getting the whole Torah. That's what Moshe was doing when he went up to Sinai. How do you derive from there to here? Right? It's a good question. That Shubhava says, so the answer says the Ran, Ki ha-shinui ve-ipalut lo yavo ki mitzad ha-hefich. When we speak about things that can be affected, can be changed, so we say you need, so to speak, an opposite force to affect them. If you leave things status, they will remain status. Inertia. They won't change. And you won't be able to affect two things because they're similar. So you affect one, doesn't affect the other. You want to affect something, you have to give an opposite force, and then you can affect it. There's always resistance, something status. You want to affect it, you have to apply force that, to an extent, is a contra. When we speak about the angels, we speak about the concepts of heaven, so they don't have contradiction. So you also can't affect them, because there's nothing in them that you can give a contra to. The angels are all pure, so what are you going to do? You'll burn them? Burning is also, it's a contra to something. It's taking all the liquid out of something. It's drying it up to the point where you apply the energy and it's burnt. Okay, fine. You can't do that to an angel. What are you going to do? You'll get it wet? You can't get an angel wet. What are you going to do? You'll get him upset? You can't affect an angel. Because an angel is a constant and there's nothing physical about him and there's nothing within him that can be affected. You guys with me? So, what can be affected? What can be affected is things that aren't constant. And that is us, human beings. Because we are composed of things that are contradictory, you know. We have dry aspects to us, we have wet aspects to us. If we touch fire too much, we get burnt. We touch liquids too much, you leave a guy standing in water for 10 days, that's also going to destroy him. There's a limit to what we can handle because we're composed of things that are delicate. There's a delicate balance between the matter that composes us. And that's why we also are not constants intellectually. Sometimes we're smarter, sometimes we're stupider. We develop. We're a work in progress. And we constantly have our ups and downs. Neida achar shenisakel v'nisakel achar shenida. We can start off being a sachal, and we're foolish, and then we gain intellect, and then we can become foolish again. V'chulanu chachamim b'koach. We all have potential to be smart. But the question is, when do we realize that potential? Ach nitzdech tamid lo tzio lapol. We always have to work to realize that potential. Meaning, yeah, he's potentially brilliant. Great. We're all potentially brilliant, but we have to work to really be brilliant. וגם אחרי שנוציא קצת כוחותינו אל הפועל ונשכיל, and even after we've reached some of our potential, now we're a little bit smarter, התחדש לנו עמימה ומחשוך. Suddenly we find ourselves with new questions. We find ourselves again in the dark. ונצטרך להוציא לפועל מה שכבר יצא ושב עימום. Even a guy who learned, he mastered the Torah, great. If he doesn't work hard, he's going to start forgetting. And then he's going to have to work again to reveal that same potential that he had. Vizoti madrigat kol adam. This is the way every human being is. We're always working to get up, and when we stop working, even what we've achieved can be lost. That's the way we are. Lo tavor ze kefi hateva efshari b'shum panim. Going with our nature, it's never going to change. This is part of being human. Every human being has constant struggles. He has struggles to realize his potential, and he has struggles to maintain that potential. That's part of being human. We have contradictions within ourselves, and we have to work to realize our potential. Omnam madrigat Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, but Moshe Rabbeinu, his level, shaita lemala min hateva kmo shenitbaer, it was above these laws of nature, as we've explained. Hayta nisgava meod, he was on a very high level, ki hu haya sechel befoal, velo haya bo koach shelo yetzea lapoal. All his strengths were realized. He reached his potential, and he was what the Ran calls sechel befoal. He was angel-like. Velo haya gam ken sichlo achar sheshav poal mitchadesh elav liot v'chisaron sheyashuv koach. He wasn't like us, that he'd learn something and forget it. That he'd achieve something and then he could lose it. Ki lo nishar lisichlo masach klal v'na'ala kol hefech mimenu. He had no contradictions. Moshe was like a clean slate. And so Moshe didn't have the hurdles that we have to cross. Kishav madriga tzechel nivdal. Because Moshe attained the level of being like an angel. Now the Ran is saying being like an angel. Rav Sadia Gaon writes that Moshe halachically had the din of an angel. Anyone who heard Moshe talk, the Rav Sadia Gaon writes, was like a prophet. Anything you heard from Moshe was like hearing prophecy, being that Moshe only said what Hashem said to say. So if you heard Moshe say something, you were hearing prophecy. You were hearing prophecy on such a high level that you had to be a prophet to hear Moshe. Meaning anyone who heard Moshe, it was like hearing an angel talk. Moshe had the din of an angel. Rei netatich Elokim leFaro. God says, I've made you master of Paro. God was telling him, I'm making you into an angel. Right. He was human and yet he was an angel, right? That's the contradiction the Ran is talking about.
Man among angels. No angel.
והורה הזה באומרו עמדו בשמה מייצווה השם לכן. And the pasuk that indicates this concept is when the Jewish people come to Moshe and Moshe says, wait, let me see what God has to say. You see that on a second's notice Moshe knew he's gonna have an answer from God. You see that Moshe, whenever he wanted, he had prophecy. That's not a level a human being could be on. At any moment, God's going to talk to him. He has a question, so God's going to tell him what to do. No one else was on that level. Only Moshe. And it's known that what our sages taught us, that these parshiyot, from here we learn that the Kohen Gadol has to separate himself to do his service, and during those days that he's preparing to do the avodah of Yom Kippur or the burning of the red heifer, he's going to try and remove his physical fantasies. Meaning, the truth is, everything physical is fantasy. If you think about it, if we'd only see truth, we'd be like Moshe. If we could only overcome our fantasies, then we'd be focused on Hashem. And at every moment we'd be focused on Hashem. The reason we're not is because we fantasize. We think, if I'll have a good cup of coffee, I'll have a good piece of cake, I'll have a beautiful wife, I'll have a beautiful car, I'll have a beautiful home. All these things, then I'll be happy. We're constantly fantasizing to ourselves about what's going to give us what they call in Yiddish a geschmack. If only I have this, I'm going to be so happy. If we would be able to overcome, to remove the fantasies from our lives, then we'd lead different lives. But We have to work on that. So the Kohen Gadol is given a 7-day period to work on that in anticipation of the holy service that he's going to do.
That that's what he's fantasizing about.
He doesn't say what. He says, Yafshit atzmomen dimyonot gashmim. The Kohen has to undress himself from the physical fantasies. Hamonot shlemuto, that prevent him from wholeness. So I think that's what the Ran means. Physical fantasies means everything physical. V'sheyotzi el hapoal ma shebekocho, and then he can realize his potential. He has the koach, he has the potential, and then he will realize the potential. So what's standing in the way of realizing the potential? The dimyonot gashmim, the physical fantasies. And physical fantasies, again, is in every walk of life. It's in everything we do. And this is something that's necessary for everyone else, except for Moshe. Everyone else that's having constant struggles with their desires, so they need a day of separation. But Moshe, who he said was on the level of an angel, he was a constant. What does he need 6 days for? What's going to change during those 6 days? He wasn't steeped in the physical beforehand. Did Moshe have any barriers? Did he have any fantasies? Did he have anything that he really had to overcome? If he was on that level, how could he have prophecy at any moment? If a person has fantasies at that moment, he can't have prophecy. And we are taught that Moshe could have prophecy at any moment, so then obviously he wasn't on that level. He didn't have that problem. So that's why the Talmud could derive from Moshe. If Moshe was on such a fantastic level, it's true he was going up to heaven, but Moshe was a constant throughout his life. So that's what the Talmud says, "My sheshet yamim." What is Moshe doing in those 6 days? Kolomar in safek shezot haprisha lo tzricha katu bishvin Moshe. Undoubtedly, Moshe didn't need 6 days. We said Moshe was a constant high. So what does he need the 6 days for? Kulo haya tzrich leze. He didn't need the 6 days. Elaze binyanav. But rather, this is to teach us, lechol acherim, to teach anyone else, sheikansu lemachane shechina. Yitanu prisha. Anyone else that wants to enter the camp of the Shekhinah has to separate himself. God told Moshe, you wait 6 days, and those 6 days were to teach us how we must prepare. Moshe didn't need that. When came to Moshe, every day was the same. Moshe had every day on a high. That's one person in the world history who was like that. You know, people like to tell you about the Gdolim that they were like this. It's not true. Every giant you've heard about, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, had his better days and his worst days. They also have their Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, which has more Kavana than their Shacharis any other day. I hope. Because everyone has their ups and their downs. Moshe Rabbeinu was one person in world history that didn't, and we're told that's a miracle. It's unnatural. So we have to wonder, God made him more whole than is humanly possible. So then, now we're going back to our original question. So why did God want him to be imperfect, to have this handicap that he can't talk clearly? How come God wanted that? Maybe you'll tell me that in order to have prophecy, all you need is really to be on great levels spiritually. But physically, if he has a physical handicap, that's not a problem. Maybe you'll tell me that's why. That prophecy doesn't require physical strength, physical aptitude. No. Prophecy requires spiritual aptitude. Maybe you'll tell me that's why it didn't bother anyone that Moshe had this handicap. The Ran says that's not so. And now the Ran is going to go argue on a famous Rambam. We know that Sha'arei Amru B'Perek En Ben Hamudal, the Talmud tells us in Nedarim, Amar Rabbi Yonatan told. Guys, are we going to continue here or should we break here and continue next week? Continue? Yeah? We said we're going to try to cover this. Okay, so Rabbi Yonatan taught. אין הנבואה השורה, אלא על חכם גיבור ועשיר וענה וכולם במשה. Prophecy doesn't settle on anyone unless he is wise, he is brave, he is wealthy, he is humble, and we derive all of them from Moshe.
It has to be all of them?
All of them, right. Now,
to be in Sanhedrin, you have to be the
matter. We're not talking about Sanhedrin, we're talking about prophecy now.
Right, but it's the same, it's at least the same.
Sanhedrin is something different, no.
It's not just four also?
No. I don't think so. והרי גיבור ועשיר אינן מעלות שכליות ולא מעלות מידות. To be a great warrior, to be powerful, to be wealthy, that's not something intellectual. That's not something that has to do with the person's traits. The Rambam says, Gibor is kovish es yitzro. Gibor doesn't mean physically strong, it means spiritually strong. Ashir is samech b'chalko. It means he's happy with his lot. It doesn't mean he has to have physical wealth. But the Ran doesn't learn that way. The Ran says, let's understand that Gemara literally. So you see that in the physical world, in order to attain prophecy, one must be whole. So how could it be that the greatest prophet of all times had a blemish in the one aspect of being human that was most important, his capacity to talk? Prophecy is all about saying something over. And here we're talking about the greatest prophet in all time, and he can't talk clearly. How could that be? And he says, it's not a coincidence, because everything about Moshe was godly. We see Moshe was unusual. God made him an unusual human being. So how come God made him with this blemish? And even though there is he who explained, the Rambam in Shmona Prakim, that when the Talmud says he must be brave, it means he conquers his desires. And wealthy doesn't mean literally. Wealthy means he's happy with his lot. And Advar Ken, the Ran says, I don't agree. Sharesham bin Darin, Shamru, Vekulam bin Moshe. Over there, when the Talmud tells us we derive them all from Moshe, so how does the Talmud prove it? Ochichu gibol min ve'tpos b'shnei aluchot. They prove the fact that he was powerful from our parsha. Moshe says, I took both luchos and I threw them down. And then the Talmud calculates how heavy the two luchos were. And the Talmud says, there's no way a human being could ordinarily lift tablets that size. Must be he was unusually strong. He was a gibor. Yeah, but what were they made of? Bashir, look it up in the Gemara over there in Nedarim. The Gemara's in Nedarim. Lamed Ches Amid Aleph.
But people carried it also.
Hmm?
But when people carried the Kodesh, they also carried the Luchot.
Right, San Chazal say it wasn't humanly possible to lift the Aron Kodesh. Aron Noset Nosav. That it was a miracle. The Aron would hover over their shoulders. They didn't really carry it. It just looked like they were carrying it. You're right. It wasn't humanly possible, even without the luchos. And anyways, it was divided by four. And it was carried on their shoulders and not in their hands. But at any rate, we're not saying it wasn't humanly possible to carry the luchos. We're saying you had to be a very powerful person to do that. Vashir, how do we know Moshe was wealthy? Mipsolecha, Hashem says, you take the sapphire when you carve out the second set of luchos, you keep the carvings, the small pieces of stone. And that's how Moshe became extraordinarily wealthy. And these two points, being physically strong and wealthy, this shows us that in the physical world, God wants a prophet to be whole. These aren't philosophical or spiritual concepts. So the main point here says the Ran, God wants the prophet whole in all forms of wholeness, and that's something which the masses value. This is because we value the congregation that he is their messenger, and this helps that people will listen to him. A guy walks in as a prophet and he's Bill Gates, and he has prophecy, and he's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's modest. So then you say, oh wow, look at them, God talks to him. Okay, so he's got muscles from here to there, and he's got wealth from here to there, and he's brilliant, and he's wealthy, and he's modest, and You have all of that. So then, okay, people are going to be more apt to listen to him, and they'll be proud he's their prophet, and it'll make sense to them that he should be a prophet. Does he need it? No. Does God need it? No. But God says, I'm not giving prophecy unless you need it. We need it. We, the masses need it. So prophet has to be whole, even on the externals.
And all the prophets were wealthy?
Yeah. Yeah. ואם כן, איך ייתכן שתחסל משה רבנו עליו השלום מעלת שלמות הדיבור? So how could it be, says the Ran, that Moshe Rabbeinu was lacking in this fundamental point in his capacity to speak? והנה אין ספק שאחרי המעלות השכליות ומעלות המידות, אין שום מעלה שתהיה יותר ראויה לנביא מזאת. Undoubtedly, the thing that a prophet needs most after we speak about his being on a high level spiritually and his having excellent traits, the next important thing that he must have is the capacity to speak clearly. What's the prophet doing? He's talking, that's his job. So his speech should be impeccable. Even the word Navi, says the Ran, the word Navi literally means speaker. The word Navi comes from the word Nivsfataim, speech of the lips.
I heard this yesterday on some Arab from Israel. Doesn't come from the word Navi?
Nope.
So where's the Aleph in Nivs Fatayim?
It's a Shorosh Nofen. Let's wait. The Ran later, not right here, but the Ran will later go into the Shorosh of Navi. He will explain it at length. We'll get to that. V'ra'inu od, here he's mentioning it in passing. Later on, he will disagree with what he just said. That Navi is from Niv Svatayim. He's going to say, like you're saying, that it's its own Shosh. He's going to say, Nivwa, Navi, it's its own Shosh. But we'll get there.
It's its own Shosh, right. It's from the word Lavon, Navi.
I don't think so. I don't think he learns that way. We'll see. But that's later on. We'll get to that. But at this point, he's going with Rashi that Navi comes from Niv Svatayim, and he's saying, you know, the most important thing is his capacity to speak. And we see furthermore that Moshe Rabbeinu, with his speech impediment, Moshe Rabbeinu Niflam Ize. Moshe Rabbeinu himself wondered, God, how do you expect me to be the messenger? I can't talk. How am I going to be the top prophet, lead the Jewish people out of Egypt? Moshe Rabbeinu himself couldn't understand it. Moshe wondered, if God, you chose me to be the prophet, how come I'm still having the speech impediment? That's when Moshe came with a claim to God. You know, God, I'm not a man of many words. I'm not a big speaker. And even since you started giving me prophecy, you still haven't cleared my speech impediment. And undoubtedly what Moshe is saying is, I don't understand God. You're sending me on this most important mission and I'm still incapable of speaking clearly. How could it be that after you've spoken to me, my speech impediment hasn't been removed? And Hashem doesn't answer him with regard to this. The only thing Hashem tells him is, "Mi sampel adam? Who controls all of this? I control all of this." What's the answer in that? It seems like God didn't answer his question. And we see that Chazal take great lengths to explain to us that Moshe had no blemish, no physical blemish. Amru beperek Hamakneh, the Talmud says in Hamakneh, והנה נער בוכה ותחמול לה ותאמר מילדי העברים זה קר לילד וקר לנער, הוא ילד וקולו נער. The Talmud says, how come he's called a ילד and a נער? He was a ילד, but he had the voice of a נער. Then the Talmud says, that can't be. אמר לרב נחמיה, רב נחמיה questioned, אם כן עשית למשה בעל מום, you made Moshe having a blemish? Even as a baby he had a voice of a lad? Impossible. No, Moshe didn't have any blemishes. Okay, great. Well, then why did he have the most basic blemish of a prophet? He couldn't talk clearly.
So So if the Talmud already says, can't be Moshe had a physical blemish, why doesn't the Talmud address this most basic point? How come? No, how come Moshe couldn't talk clearly? And that's, we're going to pick up with the answer to this. The Ran gives a phenomenal answer. We're going to see Bezalel Shem next week. Let's just retrace our steps with the Ran. The Ran began by telling us that initially Moshe and Aaron went together. And Aaron was there out of respect to Aaron too, because Aaron was the prophet before Moshe came along. Then he said, okay, but how come Moshe wasn't perfect? He says, you know, Moshe was on an unusual level. He was angel-like. He was a constant. Other people aren't on that level. And with that, he explained the Kal Vachomer and the Gemara and Yuma. How do we learn from Moshe's 6 days of separation to the Kohen 6 days of preparation? Because the Talmud is saying Moshe didn't need it. Moshe was angel-like without the 6 days. If God told him to separate 6 days, that's how we learn Kal Vachomer to other people. So if Moshe was so unusual, how come on this physical point he had a blemish? And, says the Ran, we see that on physical points a prophet must be whole as well. Just as a prophet must be wealthy and he must be a great, a mighty person, that shows us that on the physical front, God wants a prophet as whole as possible too. So how could it be on this most basic point that Moshe had a speech impediment? And says the Ran, we see the Talmud says Moshe didn't have any physical problems. Can't be that even as when he was a baby, he had a deep voice. The Talmud says can't be Moshe had a blemish. And we see that Moshe himself asked the question, when he said, God, even since you've spoken to me, I still have my speech impediment. So you see, Moshe was troubled. Wait a second, why? And we don't find a clear answer. And so the Ran says, so what is the answer? That's where we'll pick up next week, Be'ezrat Hashem.